The following podcast is sponsored by Financial Sense Wealth Management. To learn more about our investment services, go to financialsense.com or give us a call at 888-486-3939.
The Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, if you're going stir-crazy, remaining quarantined, you're probably trying to think of what are things you can do. Well, let's talk about how to stay healthy. How do you stay healthy when the gyms are closed and maybe you aren't set up for gym equipment at home? To find out, let's talk to my guest today, and that is Erica Pitch. She's an associate clinical professor at UCSF and a physical therapist. Erica, you know, it's interesting. I was on Amazon, and if you were to go online trying to buy exercise bands, dumbbells, workout benches, they're all sold out. In fact, a friend of mine is the founder of one of the nation's largest commercial and home exercise equipment, and all their home gyms are completely sold out. And he told me they don't intend or probably will not have anything until probably mid-June. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So what does somebody do?
Well, one, it's kind of encouraging to see that a lot of the home gyms are sold out because that means people are motivated. But the thing is, there's lots of heavy things around your home that can substitute for strength training equipment. So you think about your trips to Costco and how many, you know, heavy laundry detergent containers there are, or, you know, bags of rice, or, you know, I just got a big bottle of vinegar because I'm trying to kill my weeds the less toxic way. I'm like, huh. Here's an empty bottle now, and you can put more water in it, put, you know, dirt or sand or whatever in it to make that heavy, and it's got a handle. And you can still do your squats and things like that with everyday items instead of, you know, hand weight.
You know, Erica, this reminds me when I was in the military during the war, we did simple things like push-ups, squats, sit-ups, pull-ups. What about those things where you can basically use your own body for exercise?
Well, those are great. Those are classics. And, you know, it's really funny because, like, push-ups are like one of the, you know, old chestnut exercises, but really it's a excellent exercise for a number of reasons. I mean, the yoga community, you know, calls it a plank or I forget what the yoga term for it is, but it's withstood the test of time for a good reason. It's because people often think, well, it's, if you look at the anatomy of, okay, so if you're in a push-up position and you go from, you know, bring your chest down to the ground and then back up again, it's a sort of pectoralis exercise, a workout for the chest muscles. But your core, your trunk, your abdominal muscles are getting a huge workout to do it correctly. In order for your spine not to sag, your whole core and postural muscles have to be engaged to do that. So it's an excellent overall core exercise. And it's also a great way to progress. I mean, because you can do modified push-ups. You know, you can do them on your knees if that's where you need to start. You can put your feet up on the sofa and change the angle, and that changes the challenge. You can do your side planks. Squats are great. I mean, they don't get more practical than that. You have to do a squat to get out of a chair, to get up from the floor. All of those things, all those body weight exercises are fantastic. As you get better, it becomes more of a sort of cardiovascular exercise if you do them with higher frequency, because it takes that many repetitions to get tired. So if you want to get more in the strength zone, you need to add a little bit more resistance. So doing squats while holding a weight, or, you know, giving a friend a piggyback ride, that might be a bit much.
Now, what about stretching? Because we know that stretching and balance is very important as we age. What are basic things that we could do about stretching? Because I was always taught before workouts, you should maybe do a 5-minute warm-up to get your muscles warm and then do some basic stretching before you begin a workout.
Yeah, and the dosing is still sort of, there's more and more science coming out that the exact, like, type of stretching may depend on what you're going to do with it later. So it may not be the best idea to do, like, heavy duty, you know, massive yoga class to get super, super loose and then go and do skilled exercise, because then you're almost uncalibrated to where you are. But, you know, basic dynamic stretching, warming up your muscles, maybe doing a little bit of, you know, 30-second stretch before doing your, in each muscle group before doing your strengthening, that's fine. There's actually, I provided some links with information from our physical therapy website. So the American Physical Therapy Association has a whole website called Choose PT. It's like their sort of PR website. And they have pictures and strategies. There's a bunch of different pages in terms of, they have a whole page on three strategies to maintain health and fitness during social distancing. They have pictures of basic stretches on there. The key ones are, of course, if you're sitting and watching Netflix, or a lot of us are working from home still. And so this is whether we're working at home or at work. If we're sitting at a desk, your knees are always in a flexed position. So your hamstrings really need some help. So there's a basic hamstring stretch, which is, you know, lying on your back, grabbing the back of your thigh, and then straightening your leg up to the ceiling. And then also your hip flexors. So that's the one where, you know, it's like right in the front of your thigh, where if you're, you know, sitting in a chair, that hip position, if your hip stays flexed for so long, that can also get really tight. And can be really tight in a lot of people. So it's really important to do a hip flexor stretch, which is basically like, my favorite is, if you're familiar with Game of Thrones, taking the knee. So as we call it, you know, tall kneeling. So you take the knee, but you don't bend over. You lift your chest, squeeze your butt, and then push your hips forward. That's going to get a really good stretch in the front of your thigh. And that one, those two are really, really, really important just for, you know, at any time, whether it's social distancing or not, in terms of if you're sitting a long time.
And let's talk about strength exercise. And like you said, you know, maybe you don't have dumbbells, maybe you don't have weights, but you could just take a plastic gallon of milk jug, fill it full of water, take a couple of those, and you can use those like dumbbells. But there are a number of things you can do. What are the easiest things to do for strength training?
Independent of the body weight exercise. So that's by far the easiest. So highlighting the importance of just doing body weight. So like, you know, squats, push-ups, crunches, or sit-ups. Things like that. Probably the easiest ones to do is to add more bang to your squat is by holding, you know, the weight while you're doing a squat, while you're doing a lunge. People always sort of go towards bicep curls because it's sort of easy and obvious, but don't forget the tricep on the back of your arm. So that's where also the push-up comes in, because that also works that elbow extensor. Shoulder exercises. So bring your arms out to the side like you're making a snow angel. Being extra careful when you go overhead, number one, definitely don't lose grip of the weight, but two, make sure you're using really, really, really good posture, because it's the more overhead reaching you do, the more, if you do it wrong, you can potentially harm your shoulder, which is really important. So you have perfect posture, shoulders open and back, and then raising your arms over the head as you're pressing that weight up. Knowing that the further a weight gets away from your body, the longer the lever arm, the harder it's going to be. So something that seems really light when it's really close to your body is going to get heavier and heavier as you straighten your arm out, which is actually a nice way of making a relatively light weight work you really hard. So for some people who would like normally like, you know, bend their elbows to do their shoulder raises, you can straighten your arm out a little bit, and then also it's really heavy already and it's more bang per minute.
You know, I just keep thinking when I was going through boot camp, of course, the military didn't have gyms back then, but it was just simple things. We'd start our training in our mornings. You couldn't walk into the mess hall unless you did a chin up. We were doing push-ups. We were doing sit-ups. We were doing squats. We were doing jumping jacks. You don't need any equipment to do those things.
No, not at all. And the big thing, too, is that so trying to accomplish multiple exercise needs at once. So we know that everyone has their U.S. recommended daily allowance of cardiovascular exercise, right? Anyone with a brain needs to get their heart rate up and keep it there for about 30 minutes a day. That's like the best guideline for overall health, and especially brain health, you know, being the neurologic physical therapist, I'm always biased towards preserving brain function. So getting that cardio, but then also getting some muscle endurance training at the same time, and that's where circuit training comes in and can be really helpful. And by what I mean by circuit training is where you have stations or specific exercises that you rotate through. So you may see online there's a ton of apps and YouTube videos and things out there where you set a timer, like 30 seconds. Okay, so for 30 seconds, I'm going to do some jumping jacks. Okay, timer buzzes. Okay, now I'm going to do push-ups for 30 seconds. Timer buzzes, now I'm going to do squats for 30 seconds. Timer buzzes, and then I'm going to go back and do jumping jacks. Or I'm going to do syncopated jumping jacks, where you like bring your arms halfway up and then all the way up and halfway down and all the way down, or even switching stances. You can, what I've always wanted to do is like get flashcards and just put like, okay, so I've got jumping jacks in one, stance switching jumping jacks in another. We got burpees if those are on your menu, or like, I always hated mountain climbers, but for some of those like mountain climbers, okay. Push-ups, crunches, shuffle them, and then cycle through. put on some good music. Nothing helps an exercise, a workout session more than some good music. That can really make a difference. So put on your favorite up-tempo music and just cycle through, trying to balance things out from forward and back. So not all like marching in place, but also doing some where you're kicking your legs back or to the side. So you're getting a variety of motions while you're circling through these exercises. The big thing to worry about is, you know, aside from losing your balance or things like that, but also over biasing one particular muscle group.
And as I mentioned, you provided us with some links, which we're going to put on with this broadcast. Let's talk about before you begin a rigorous program. And I'm thinking of Erica, somebody that maybe has high blood pressure, that has heart disease, diabetes. You know, you got to be careful before you start any kind of rigorous exercise program. But let's talk about something that is so simple that we do every single day, and that's just walking.
Oh, yeah.
And since we're quarantined to our homes, let's talk about the health benefits of just going outside in the neighborhood and going for a half hour walk.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you're exactly right. That's like the most, you know, fundamental of our exercise options. And, you know, ideally, if you really want to get the benefit, you want to go briskly, but still just getting outside in the fresh air, keeping your social distancing, you know, being mindful of that. But yeah, just getting outside for a walk and getting that fresh air and sunshine is always good. And also, for most people who doing just like a light pace, you don't have to do a sprint walk. For those people who are, you know, medically fragile or like haven't started an exercise program, just going out and walking is relatively low harm. And like you said, I wanted to highlight the fact that this is not the time to start interval training if you've never done a high intensity exercise program without screening it with a physician, especially like you said, if you have high blood pressure, if you have history of exertional, you know, chest pain or things like that, you want to make sure you get that checked out before embarking on anything higher intensity. But the lower intensity, the lower risk, but also sort of you're not going to get massive payoffs, but still you're going to sort of try to prevent deconditioning. So losing, we're all like right now at risk about, you know, losing fitness just because we're not moving as much. So by just doing a little walk, a little low intensity, at least you can try to stave off that deconditioning as well.
What about getting something, and I know they're available, something like a heart monitor strap. So if you are older, you have high blood pressure, you have heart disease, that if you're not able to get into your physician to get a complete physical, at least you can monitor your heart and make sure you're not overexerting yourself. And, you know, we hear all kinds of stories about what we call weekend warriors, where they're couch potatoes Monday through Friday, and then they go out and exert themselves strenuously on a weekend. And that's where you have these sudden heart attacks and events like that happening because they're not used to it, or your body's not used to it.
Right, right. And currently, so the a lot of the technology out there, so the wearable technology, so the Apple Watch, the Fitbit, any sort of smartwatch has heart rate monitors in it. Actually, one of our students the year before, did a review on the literature in terms of validating smartwatches in comparison to standard electrocardiography in terms of how it can estimate heart rate. And it wasn't published, but a lot of especially like the Apple Watch is quite reliable in terms of capturing heart rate accuracy. And so there's the classic formula for, you know, calculating how hard one should be working, which is 220 minus your age. And then you take, this is the important part. So that's your estimated maximal heart rate. There are some other calculations for older adults. This one still is sort of like the one that's sort of commonly recommended. Is you take 220 minus their age, that's the estimated maximum heart rate. Then you take 60 to 80% of that. And for people who are just starting out, it's okay to stay at that 60 to 70 zone, right? You're not going to start at that 80% heart rate. So you can just basically take a quick look at your watch and put it into, you know, exercise mode or heart rate mode, and it can track that. The other thing too is to look out for just like what we call perceived exertion. How are you feeling when you're exercising? Are you, you know, breathing hard? Are you able to talk but not sing? That's always a good metric of if you're working hard but not too hard. If you can, you know, carry on a couple word conversation, you're doing all right. If you can vent and go on a, you know, tirade while you're walking, that's probably not hard enough. If you can sing along With Aretha Franklin, you're definitely not working hard enough.
On your website, you have exercises for age groups, and especially over 50, which a lot of our audience listening to this program is probably in that age group. You have a number of things that you recommend. Let's talk about some of those. For example, sidewalking, shoulder blade squeezes, abdominal balancing, pelvic floor training. There's a number of things you talk about here, and you don't need equipment to do a lot of this stuff.
No. Not at all. Yeah. Sidestepping. Yeah. That's, and especially like all these things, any kind of balance exercise, it's always like common sense precaution to do them near something that you can hold on to if you need to. So like whether you're facing a countertop or like my favorite place is like doing it in a corner if you have an open corner. But yeah, doing like the sidestepping, that one tends to be really easy for people. So, but it's nice to sort of mix things up in terms of people are always going forward. So I was going through YouTube and looking in that sitting exercise programs, and a lot of them depend on marching in place. Well, if you do a ton of marching in place, your hip flexors get awfully tired. And I actually like in my balance class overdid it on that, in one class, and I got some feedback where like my hips were hurting for a while. So that's why like the sidestepping is nice because it sort of mixes things up, works your brain in a different direction, your muscles in a different direction, and that variety is really good. Other things like standing on one leg, that's decent balance exercise. It's also, if you try to stay there a very long time, it also works the hip you're standing on. Like we said before, like the sit to stand and stand to sit, classic, that's a squat. Kicking in multiple directions, heel-toe walking, or like doing heel raises, all of those are really, really good.
And not to mention that many of us live in two-story homes just simply walking up and down the stairs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've been told by doctors probably one of the most important things, especially if you're an individual that has high blood pressure, heart disease, or even diabetes, is just going for a simple half an hour walk. And hopefully you live in an area where it's not very hilly. So maybe starting your walk on a flat surface sidewalk rather than rolling hills. But I mean, just the simple exercise of daily walking can do wonders. Not only get you out of the house, but you're breathing fresh air, which also helps your immune system as well.
Right. Well, and also, even if you can't even go around your neighborhood, I have a friend of mine who normally does home health physical therapy. And also, she's, I think her neighborhood is also very hilly and have a lot of patients. I mean, I'm in San Francisco, so I have a lot of patients who live in very hilly neighborhoods, but their backyards might be flat. And so it's a good exercise in concentration and a moving meditation where you can do laps in your yard if you need to. And that's when you do your brain exercises while you're doing it. You can do a math in your head as you're doing laps around your yard. And that way you get the outside benefit without maybe worrying about, a hill if there are hills in your area. But there's always something. It's building. I think right now we're all sort of trying to build our boredom tolerance. I think this is where a meditation practice, if you don't have one now, can also be really helpful. I've come and encountered a number of meditators, and one of them, he was very enthusiastic about meditating, and he goes, yeah, it reduces my need for entertainment because I can just sit and meditate. Well, wow, that's great. That is a good skill to have, of just being able to be present. And, walking is a great, moving meditation in order to build that sort of resilience. And if there's another reason to do that, is that also there are a lot of cognitive benefits and wellness benefits to meditating. So it's a great opportunity to try some new things, not only walking or exercise, but now's a great time to try doing some mindfulness practice.
And if you need instruction, I wonder, Erica, if you might talk about, like, for example, Googling. There are so many exercise videos that you could do at home that are on YouTube. So if you don't have the money, or you're not going to let some strange trainer walk into your home, let's talk about what you can just get on YouTube. I don't care if you want to do a simple squat, a plank, a lunge. All of this stuff is on YouTube with instruction.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There are a ton. I can't name names because that would be like unfair to the other people who are really good that I just haven't seen. But yeah, find what you like. I mean, there's mat Pilates, there's yoga, there's a lot of dance videos. There's all kinds of stuff out there. Just use common sense. allot the space in your home for it. Use good judgment. If it's a move you haven't tried before, you don't have to keep up with that. You can, you know, pause during it and stop as you need to, or like assess what they're doing and go, wow, have I done that before? You know what? They're doing it really fast. I'm going to try it slower first and stop the video where you are, or you know, fast forward through stuff you don't like. You're totally in control in that arena. The other thing I would encourage you to is, especially because a lot of these folks posting online, a lot of those folks in the dance, art, fitness industry, a lot of people are seeing clients privately, and like a lot of industries, they have taken a huge hit as well. So if you have someone on there that like a YouTube channel that you really appreciate, that's been really helpful, they do have a subscribe button. They do have usually a Patreon supporter. So if you can afford it, please help out those that might also be really struggling financially right now. Similarly, if you were working with a trainer and you can work with them on Zoom or want to work with them remotely, do try to support the people who might be really struggling with their businesses right now.
And then finally, Erica, is there anything that you would tell people not to do? In other words, what are some things you shouldn't be doing before you start any of this? I mean, if you're a heart patient, you have heart disease, you have diabetes, there's obviously you're going to have to approach this much different than a healthy individual.
Oh, absolutely. Like we said before, this is not the time to experiment with a high intensity interval training program if you've never done it before. Always, you know, a lot of physicians are doing telehealth visits. So if you have any concerns, you can always, you know, call or email your doctor and say, hey, this is what I'm interested in doing. Is a good idea to always, you know, ease your concerns. Those are the main things. It's just like, don't go super crazy in the first visit and always use your best judgment in terms of watching how you feel, watching your symptoms, going for that, you know, working a little bit hard, but not totally huffing and puffing.
And finally, you've sent us a number of links that things, exercises, videos, and things that people can do at home. So we're going to put that up on the site accompanying this interview. Anything else you would want to close with, Erica? Any final tips or recommendations you would make?
Well, I think that there's one thing I did want to mention. Let me see. I've got my little notes here. There are some apps that's another option for like in, you know, improving your exercise consistency. There are a number of apps out there, actually a ton of them with varying levels of pricing and structure. So if you need more structure, there are some apps that you can log into live exercise classes with a trainer. There are apps for music that are specifically chosen for tempo exercise. They're ones that were actually recommended by my colleagues and also on some online resources. My favorite is Rock My Run. It's not just for running, but it has like, you know, 10K 70s funk walk, and it'll just pick up, you know, songs that are walking tempo. If you go on either, you know, any music service, oftentimes they will have blends of music. So like 70s disco is actually great walking tempo. So those are really helpful for staying motivated. And the other one that's also sort of just like more of a public service announcement that I just wanted to mention that came up in the news recently. It was reported in the Washington Post on Saturday, and I think it just got published in the Journal of the American Medical Association in Letters Today about the observation of some New York physicians that are finding that young people who are COVID positive, they're finding more and more young people having very severe, what they call large vessel strokes. Mm. And the several people that I found who had these large young people with no other risk factors who had strokes also were COVID positive. And so one thing I just want to highlight is, and also May is Stroke Awareness Month. So in terms of not only just the general awareness of stroke, but especially now that there might be this, you know, from observations of a couple of New York doctors that have seen this spike in very severe strokes, is just to be aware of the signs and symptoms of stroke, which are the acronym BFAST, which stands for balance, face, arm, speech, and time. Time is of the essence. So if someone has a sudden onset of spinning balance problems or facial droop, arm weakness, or even one-sided weakness, that's the classic hallmark of a middle cerebral artery stroke, is this hemiparesis, so one half of the body paralyzed, the face, facial droop in addition to that, or speech problems, slurring, word finding, it's essential to get to medical care as quickly as possible. A little side note there, but I think it should be because it's number one, stroke awareness month, and two, we're seeing this spike. It's important. It's always important to be aware of the signs and symptoms of the stroke and to seek medical attention immediately.
We'll see if we can find a link to that article, and we'll post it along with the exercises that you've sent us. Well, Erica, I want to thank you for joining us on the program. Like I said, everybody's probably going stir crazy. The weather's getting better. We're thinking of the summer vacation and beaches, and we're stuck in our homes. So this is one way to maintain sanity.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Jim.
All right. Take care and stay healthy.
Absolutely. You too.
Well, that concludes our interview with physical therapist Erica Petch. And, you know, we talked about a number of things that you can do at home. You don't need exercise equipment. As I mentioned, a friend of mine is the founder of one of the nation's largest commercial and home gym companies. And it's just amazing. They are sold out. Just try going on Amazon. Try to get barbells, a workout bench, or exercise bands, and you're going to find a lot of this is sold out. So you don't need to do a lot of that. You don't need to order the equipment. I mean, simple things, as we talked about, squats, push-ups, chin-ups, crunches, things like that. But do make sure that you are aware of your physical condition. And if you do have any, let's say, conditions, whether it's diabetes, heart disease, or blood pressure, you may want to check with your physician. Maybe you do a Zoom meeting with your physician before you start an exercise program. The other thing that Erica mentioned out there is if you have some of these products, whether it's Fitbit or you have an Apple Watch and earbuds, you can get some of these exercise programs, listen to them on your walk with your watch and just your earbuds. So there's a lot of ways you can stay healthy and monitor your health in your heart. So we hope you find this helpful and hope maybe this creates a little bit more sanity in your life. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.